As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
What's up, Dad? What are you watching?
Watching the 2016 Finals. This is the greatest basketball series of all time.
Hang on. Is that LeBron?
Yeah, this is when he came back from down 3-1.
Yeah, that's the most overrated final series of all time.
How? That was the 73-9 Warriors.
Because LeBron played against Twitch streamers and podcasters.
What are you talking about? They were 73-9.
Who was guarding LeBron?
Draymond Green. And what does Draymond Green have?
A podcast, but... That's all I need to hear. We're done with the 2010s.
The 2010s had Kobe, Kevin Garnett, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry.
Yeah, all those bums are trash and would not amount to anything in today's NBA.
What do you mean they wouldn't do anything in today's NBA? They dominated!
It's easy to dominate when you're playing against Uber drivers and DoorDash employees, man.
DoorDash? Steph Curry revolutionized the game!
Show me a clip of him playing good defense.
He didn't need to. He could just let Draymond Green guard another guy.
A podcaster? As a matter of fact, don't even get me started on the bubble championship.
You've got to be kidding me.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, March 18th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder, still making the magic happen, it's Eshwa Kid.
How y'all doing?
What's up, Esh? Hello to everybody joining us live on YouTube. We went early. On a Monday, starting this week off right. Click, like, subscribe, thrive. Do what you got to do. Podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Let's jump right into it. Maybe we'll sprinkle in some March Madness talk later on. Sorry, Jackrabbits were a 15th seed. Upset Bruin. But NBA weekend winners and losers. Let's start with the winners. Trey, I want to start with you. I think you've got a pretty obvious one because what a game we had on Sunday there.
Easy winner of the weekend, had to hop in the dock as soon as it happened to claim Kyrie Irving with one of the best game winners you'll ever see in your life. Mm-hmm. The lucky lefty on St. Patrick's Day. Two nice catches on the right wing, a couple of dribbles into the lane. The 20.1 footer with the left hand almost swishes it over a tall defender in Nikola Jokic, yep, who took away his step back. Kyrie said he saw he had the left hand. Why not just go with it?
Oh, my God. What
afterward,
a
he said, yeah, I practiced that.
I believe it.
Yep. It looked too smooth, yep, and too easy. He was talking about how he goes back and watches YouTube to study other people's moves. Whose move is this? That was no way he was doing this. I mean, Kobe Bryant has probably made some lefty hookshot floaters in his career, but never a game winner, never at the buzzer. Skeets, I know you don't like it when players stare at their left hand, especially guards, but even you gotta admit he earned this one.
I don't like it when they do a layup with their left hand. They're professional basketball players. Yeah. You don't need to look at your left hand like that was impressive. If I can do it, it's not that impressive. But this,
that was
absolutely, Trey, I had no issue with the celebration where you got to look at his southpaw there and go, I did that with my left from 20 feet, yeah, over Jokic. Yeah, no issue with that. One incredible game. Comeback from the Nuggets. Some huge shots and a missed shot there from Jamal Murray to set up this from Kyrie. That you're right. It sounds sort of crazy, but that's going to be one of the greatest game winners you're ever going to see. Just the shot difficulty test.
Yeah, it proves a lot of people right when they say, I think he's the most skilled player to ever play the game. Kevin Durant, known for saying that. Kyrie is the most skilled player to ever play the game because his hands are so damn good. That wasn't a short hook. That was a very long hook slash floater, whatever you want to call it. That was a perfect look at. I'm glad he stared at it. I'm so glad he stared at it. I was waiting for him. Come on, man. You got to look at that thing because there aren't too many things. You know, the Shaq, he always used to do that. Look at his left hand. Yeah. But that was worthy of a long stare. That was a magician. I mean, that was really cool stuff.
I can't believe you said it happened on St. Patrick's Day, a year to the day where Maxi Kleba hit a game-winning three on March 17th, year prior, against the Lakers, where Kyrie got like triple teamed in that one, if you remember, where they threw a bunch of guys at him, anybody but Kyrie, a year ago. So Kleba hit the three. And then a year prior to that, they didn't play on the 17th, but they played on the 16th. Dinwiddie had a game winner at the buzzer against the Nets. What is it? With the luck of the Irish here, really, for the Dallas Mavericks. I guess they have a little green in their jerseys, but yeah.
Kyrie O. Irving.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right. What a shot. And, you know, huge win for Dallas, too, when you're looking at the Western Conference standings. Obviously, you know, a big loss on the other side. Not as big, I guess, with the Nuggets where they are, but still, huge, huge win, I guess, for Dallas. All these matter here with a month to go in terms of where you're going to be seated.
They've gotten their a good run back because it was great for a while and they went terrible for a while, but they are kind of back. And Kyrie obviously does this. Yeah, on the day of other ones, I was looking on Twitter. I was looking to see when did we make fun of somebody who looked at their left hand that shouldn't have. Somewhere on Twitter I can find this thing. It was Seth Curry. Remember, we called him worst of the week one day years ago because he made a layup with his left hand and ran back on the floor looking at his. He can do it. He obviously
can. They all can. I'm sorry. I mean, at least 99% of these NBA
guards especially.
Guards especially, yes.
Maybe big not. Sometimes you can look at your left. What was cool when I was on Twitter and I was looking through all the angles was the angle of Kyrie Irving's face from behind the backboard with him looking at the clock as he took those couple dribbles. He's looking up at the clock, getting his feet right. But he already knows how to do that any time he wants to. And then, the ability to look at the clock and know how much time he has to hit a lefty friggin' hook.
Any other notes from the Mavs win here and Kyrie shot?
I don't think the Nuggets should have lost that game. I mean, they were down big going into crunch time, but that's how they do it. Yep. They hit the gas, get back into it. Jamal Murray hit a shot to put him up three with 27 seconds left, and then the Mavs got it back like instantly. Right on the inbounds, Luka comes up to the top of the key, hits a three to tie the game up with 24.2 seconds left, and then Jamal Murray just went too early.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't need to shoot it with 6 seconds remaining or whatever it was. The Mavs got the rebound with about 3 seconds. Quick timeout by Jason Kidd, which advanced the ball because I don't think Tim Hardaway Jr. was probably getting a good look rebounding it at the free throw line, but he was ready to go. We saw two buzzer beaters yesterday. Both times, the offense, the team that ended up losing, just shot the ball way too early.
Yeah.
When you have the ball and the clock is running down, take the shot as the time is going down.
Yeah.
As time expires, because then you're going into overtime.
Yep, it's a good point. I think credit to the Mavs bigs for the job they did on Jokic as well. I mean, slowed him to a 16-11-7 game. He only shot 6 of 16. I thought they were very physical with him. You know, we're talking Gafford and Lively and every big they could chuck at him. Did a good job on him. Jokic was a little out of sorts there on Sunday, but that was a big reason why the Mavs also got the victory. But what a shot. I mean, that's just...
They were talking about it in other broadcasts later on that night.
Yeah, it got 4.5 out of 5 on the Horry scale on NBA.com. I think it was docked 0.5 just because it wasn't in the playoffs. That was the only reasoning I could come up with why it wasn't a perfect 5 for 5 on the Horry scale.
You had to come up with the reason. They didn't say.
Well, I know they did a little bit.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. They didn't really spell it out, but that's why. It's the stakes, I guess, of the game.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that happens in a playoff game, then yeah, that's 5 for 5. But still, awesome shot. Let's keep it going. I would like to give an NBA weekend winner to other short kings. Kyrie, small guy, really, in the league. And a couple other guys had some big weekends, small, short kings. Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Thomas. Okay, Brunson, he scored a game-high 42 points, 17 of 28 shooting from the field in the Knicks' 98-91 win over the Kings on Saturday. he became just the fourth different player, first guard in franchise history to record consecutive 40-point games. So Jalen Brunson joining Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, and Carmelo Anthony, like, those are basically like three of the greatest Knicks of all time. I mean, on the top of a lot of people's lists. I know there's some other ones, Clyde and all that, but now Jalen Brunson there going back-to-back 40-burgers. They needed all of them, too, and really in sort of both the games, but especially this one. Davion Mitchell, Keon Ellis, they're just getting cooked. Those guys are good. They're known as decent dogs defensively. He was embarrassing them, I thought. Spin cycle, bumping off track, and he had the three ball going in that Saturday night game. And, you know, their defense did their part, too. Hartenstein, awesome. Hart, OG. They kept the Kings to 91 points. This is a high-scoring team here in Sacramento. So great job from the defense. And then Brunson just is enough right now to carry him to these victory because he looks unstoppable right now. He'll go wherever he wants. It's like it's not an issue. His feet work are incredible. Good game from him. Any thoughts on Brunson here?
The guy's freaking phenomenal. When they signed him, he had one 40-point game on his resume, and that was a playoff game.
Yeah.
He now has seven this season with the New York Knicks. That's remarkable to sign him to a contract that said some people said, come on, that's too much. That's too much. And he was doing that in the playoffs when Luka was out. He had that 40-point game, and he had a 30-point game, and the Knicks said, all right, let's go. And it's been, 10 years basically since they had a guy who had back-to-back 40-point games in Carmelo Anthony. You know, you got to get some Willis Reed love, some of those guys, lots of love when you talk about the best New York Knicks, because Melo, he's there. But
he's one of the best Knicks ever.
One of the best Knicks ever, especially when we're talking scoring the basketball.
As a Knick.
Yeah.
Scoring for sure.
It's one of the most important things.
Scoring, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
He won one playoff series. I we'll see what Jalen Brunson does. Anyways.
He's got one. You're right.
Yeah, we'll see. But that was a cool ending when he hit that last shot with Keon Ellis was on him, who was looking all around for a pick. He was looking for a pick. Who's going to pick me? Who's going to pick me? So Jalen Brunson just waved and was totally lying. He said, come on over. And then Keon Ellis looked around his shoulder, and then Jalen Brunson just went,
boom,
gone.
Gotcha.
And you can see Keon Ellis, this was another thing on Twitter. This is what Twitter is good for. I guess Keon Ellis turned around. Oh, you can see his face. Just like, help! What am I doing? So that was cool.
Monster
cool
game.
He is built to play in the era where they're not calling fouls.
Brunson, yeah.
Yeah, because he plays like that anyways. Like, he was getting extra free throws in the first half of the season, but he's used to playing through contact because it's slow it down, bump, 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 step away, and I'm hitting an 18-footer. He does it all the time, so now that he doesn't get foul calls, it doesn't matter. He only took four free throws and still scored 42 points. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, the Knicks defense, they've turned it on. They're the best defense in the league since the All-Star break, and that's with only having OG back for a handful of games here. They will get Randall back at some point. Allegedly. I know he's out there playing tennis, but he will be helpful whenever he comes back. The Knicks, though, they're kind of built for the playoffs, so they might get two series wins, depending on how things shake out.
And then Isaiah Thomas, just to show him some love, according to Shams, the 11-year vet, he's planning to sign a 10-day contract with the Phoenix Suns. So, you know, he'd been playing in the G League with the Salt Lake City Stars, which is the G League affiliate of the Utah Jazz. He joined them earlier this month. In four games, he averaged 32.5 points per game. Couldn't miss a three. Five assists, three boards, over a steal. So he now gets an opportunity to join a roster here. I don't know how much he's really going to play. It's not like Phoenix really needs offense. They need defense, but good for him. You know, this two-time All-Star. He had talked a lot about, like, he could have gone, you know, overseas. He really wanted to get back to the NBA. That's the plan. That was always the plan. I guess Danny Ainge sort of made this happen where he got him onto the G League team. There again, the Utah affiliate, and now he's going to sign a 10-day here with the Suns. A true short king at under 6 feet.
One of the shortest kingliest.
Yes. You know, what's Brunson listed at? He's 6'2". He's probably not that, though. He's probably honestly 6'1". So he's short enough in the NBA to lump under short kings. All right, let's go to you, Tass. Who do you have for weekend winner?
The New Orleans Pelicans, because we are going to see Zion Williamson in his first playoffs ever very soon. Let's go. Let's get it started. I remember last week I was saying, you know what? This New Orleans Pelicans team could snatch that 4 seed from the Los Angeles Clippers. They are looking good. We might see Zion running out on his home floor the first 2 games of a playoff series. They got the tiebreaker against the Clippers if they beat them and all that. And then they laid a huge dud to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But you know what? They made up for it. They made up for it this weekend because Friday against the Clippers, Zion was incredible. And primarily the defensive end, which you don't really see from Zion a lot. He was going and guarding Kawhi Leonard. And he shut him down a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, forcing a miss from Kawhi. That was pretty cool to watch. Kawhi, a 23, of course, he can get 23, no problem, but it was a little bit quiet because Zion was good. He had three steals in this game. And third quarter, just to add on to that defensive end, you don't see a play like you saw from Herb Jones, which was Paul George getting the ball at the three-point line. Herb Jones, in his own paint, sprints out, blocks that shot, and gets that ball, and dunks it on the other end. That's pretty freaking cool to see. We just had a lot of good shots. Carlos Alcaraz, you want to talk tennis? No, me neither. But that was a very cool play. And Zion, with 3.5 seconds left in the third quarter, where he got the ball in the backcourt, and he literally went through four Clippers to get to the rim. It was so cool how fast he was. 3.5 seconds, going through four players. It kind of looked like a football player running the 40 and going through every single potential defender. He had 34 points and 7 rebounds against the Clippers, but I just want to talk about the end of this game because it was interesting because Zion took over at the point guard spot. They said CJ McCollum not having a great night, sit for the last few minutes. They went Zion, three wings, and Larry Nance at center. So Zion, Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram, and Trey Murphy at the wings with Larry Nance. The lineup doesn't play that often. Never, basically. Only 5 minutes this season. The last 3.5 minutes, they said, Zion, you're the point guard, dude. Let's do it. These are the possessions at the end. They got a Nance layup. Trey Murphy did miss a three. Then another Nance layup. Then Zion went to the free throw line, hit a free throw. Then a Zion layup. And they took care of the Clippers. 3-1 against the Clippers this season. It is a potential playoff preview. It looks like
4-5. It looking like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether the Pelicans will be the home team, whether the Clippers will hold on to it. I have a theory that whoever's the 5 seed in that matchup is going to actually win the series.
They could.
I don't know if you want home court advantage.
Ty Lue loves road court advantage.
I think it's true. In this weird matchup, I feel like between the Clips and Pelicans, whoever's the 5 seed is going to steal one of those ones, maybe the first game or one of the first two on the road. I don't know. Not that they're going to be playing to like fall into fifth, but it'd be a fun matchup, I think, these two teams.
Yeah, and they match up really well because who is going to stop Zion on the Clippers team that's, you know, a tad small. Obviously, you know, Kawhi can try, Paul George can try, but they are a little bit small. Anyways, they match up pretty freaking well against that team, and they are a great road team. They're one of the best road teams in the Western Conference, surprisingly, at 21-13.
There you go, stay in fifth.
Yeah.
They'll be throwing games down the stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they will catch the Clippers when it comes down to it, but they do have the tiebreaker if they do. So, yeah, maybe they just want to lose that tiebreaker. Throw the tiebreaker. Call the office. Maybe call the front office, the league office, I should say, and say, can we just do away with the tiebreakers? I don't know. TBD. Saturday versus Portland doesn't really matter as much. They beat Portland. Zion Williamson, best flex in this NBA, I think. Literally flex.
He actually flexed.
He actually
flexed. A lot of times they just like put their arms up in flex position without going full muscles.
Yeah.
Zion went full muscles. That was nice.
It was nice. I don't even know if he's flexing, to be honest. He's just like really muscular.
So, could be.
Biggest buys in the game. McCollum had a bounce back game against his old team, a 30 spot. Will Guillory on The Athletic has a nice breakdown on this team and how they are flowing. Mm-hmm. Flowing really well. And Zion is the main reason for me.
Couple things with Zion. He's, I guess, 6 games away from beating his most games played in a season. He's at 56 right now. 61 is the most he's ever played in a season, so he should eclipse that. You keep blowing my mind when you say, wow, we're going to get Zion Williamson in a playoff series.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
Wow, we haven't seen it. So that's fun. And then, Trey Murphy, obviously a huge threat out there to shoot the ball. Like, this guy takes a three so much, but he hits it at a high percentage. And then that Herb Jones defensive play, man, that was a fun lineup with Point Zion and then all that length and Larry as the center there. But that, I mean, you don't see in today's NBA that play all that often, to block the three at the top and then go the other way, like collect it all in one motion and score on the other end. Fun team. This will be a fascinating, like, are you going Clippers? Are you going Pelicans? Like, I feel like this will be a real, you're going to see a lot of people taking one, mm-hmm. a lot of people taking, it'll be split, it feels like, with the way they're playing both these squads right now.
I don't know who on the Clippers could possibly guard Zion, because he looked unstoppable. It was one of the games where he just takes a left-handed layup every time down yeah. the court. I think he took 21 shots, the furthest was from 7 feet away. And he made so many of them, because when it was a center, they would be in drop coverage, and you're dead. You're yeah. instantly dead right then, because he just rumbles to the hoop and yep. shoots it over the top of Zubac or Tice or whoever it may be. PJ Tucker, like, did a decent enough job of staying in front of him, but not quite quick enough to hang with Zion, so it's going to have to be, like, Kawhi. Is that going to work? I don't know. Zion's got a lot of strength on Kawhi. Kawhi's obviously got quick feet, long arms, quick hands.
Yeah.
But that will wear him down, because Kawhi's been having some big first quarters and then really tailing off afterwards. The other thing that impresses me, the Pelicans are quite clearly playing for each other right now. CJ McCollum, he's their highest paid player, I assume, right? Sitting on the bench yeah. mm-hmm. for this, and yeah. the team looks like they're clicking. Like, Larry Nance Jr. got 2 baskets under the hoop, and they were off of, like, 3 driving kicks before he finally catches the ball and dunks it. They got a steal with 1 minute left against the Clippers where Ingram deflects the ball. Larry Nance Jr. and Herb get on the floor. It ends up being a run out for Zion. They get a free throw on it. They're just locked in with each other right now. They don't have a lot of playoff experience. Obviously none with Zion, but we've seen them in postseasons where they're a tough out at the very least. So if they're able to get Zion healthy to the playoffs, he's playing the best he ever has right now on both ends of the ball. So I can't wait to see if the Pelicans can actually do something
yeah.
in the playoffs.
And yeah, just that man in the playoffs, it is odd to think when he was drafted. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But because of injuries, he wasn't able to join the Pelicans for that decent series against the Phoenix Suns, where they took him to 6 for that run. But they are absolutely playing for each other, as you said, Trey, because Zion at the point guard spot. I remember 5 years ago when they were drafted, we thought Zion's playing center. Zion could play center. The dude is playing point guard, and they'd say, CJ, you have to take a seat here. Willie Green is telling his highest paid player, you got to sit down. Zion comes in, and it was a close score at the end. When Zion was able to take that point guard spot, and he just executed every single possession. So Zion, the point guard, is really, really interesting. He's obviously extremely capable of doing that, so very fun.
Okay, Pelicans get a winner of the weekend. Let's do another round. Trey, back to you here.
Golden State Warriors get a winner of the weekend. I think most importantly, they got Steph Curry back after he'd missed 3 games with a sprained ankle, and I would say he generally looked like Steph Curry, only 3 for 10 from three. I bet it'll come around, but mm-hmm. he went scoreless in the first quarter, finished with 31 points, 5 assists, and he must have had like 18 secondary assists, I think, in the second half when the Lakers were trying to get the ball out of his hands, and he would just get it to Draymond, and Draymond would play 4-on-3, find Kuminga or Wiggins for a lob. Also, Steph had a great defensive play this game, just ripped LeBron at half court with like 1.5 minutes left, and that was basically the game. But I thought the Warriors looked like the Warriors once again, knowing they had Steph back and using his shooting and the gravity he creates just to create advantages, which is why Draymond, I thought, had such a good game. Curry was his usual self, scoring on like continued cuts where you're like, oh, we covered him. There's no way he's open. And then suddenly Draymond dimes him up for an easy layup under the hoop. Kuminga was hitting jumpers in this game. LeBron had 40. Turned it on in the fourth quarter, but I was like, this is like a quiet 40 almost for LeBron. This was a fun game to watch. It ended up going the Warriors' way. They're now in 9th in the Western Conference, which is big time because it definitely feels like we're getting Warriors-Lakers somewhere in California for the 9-10 game. Mm-hmm. You would rather have it at home than yeah. on the road. So this was a win for the Warriors because they got Steph back. They won the game, and everything was all good except for the clock.
I was going to say, fun game to watch until the final 2 minutes, which took 20 minutes to end the damn game.
Crazy, bro.
That was insane with all of the reviews and the shot clock malfunctions. It took 20 minutes of real time for the final that basically 2 minutes of the game. We had this one on at a party, and it was into the game for the most part, keeping an eye on it. And then when that happened, I mean, people were getting up and leaving. No one cared after that. It lost all momentum in an otherwise entertaining game and a big win. You're right. The Warriors now jumping the Lakers in a 9-10 matchup, hypothetically.
Yeah, the video reviews were tough. As Mike Breen said on the broadcast, he'd never seen anything like this since he started calling games, which was strange.
Ben Affleck was like slumped over in his yeah. courtside seat, like going, oh my God, man, I gotta get out of here, man.
Get him some Dunkin', wake him up.
Holy crap.
LeBron went Danny Glover mode. I'm too old for this shit.
It is. Like, we're laughing about it. Crazy. And it fortunately doesn't happen all that often, like, when you pair all the reviews and then the shot clock malfunctions. Like, but, man, does it kill a flow of a game? Like, especially, like, you know, even the reviews, and then they're taking away points from prior plays with LeBron and that's all that. Weird. It's like, what is it's like, we're actually hurting the product by trying to get it too perfect. If that makes sense. Like, trying to get everything absolutely right is actually sort of hurting sometimes these games. But
I agree. Too many reviews, but this one was like shot clock problems. Well, when they tried inbounding the ball like four times. Like, nope, still not working. Still not working. Then they had to count it down. Just put like 80 shot clocks back there so we never have to see that again. They should have backup shot clocks. I mean, they do have backup shot clocks, but they should have backups for the backups.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to. There's enough space. It was been in the bowels.
It was a wiring issue or something like that. I don't know. Okay, but the Warriors.
Upgrade your cables.
Let's go back to you, Tass. Who else do you have as a winner?
Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks, because he called for the basketball like every basketball player has called for it at some point of their career, and then he hit shots when he got it after calling for it, and we got it on tape here. Let's hear it. Come on, every basketball player has tried that at some point. Maybe not as high pitch. I don't know what that is. You know your bird calls. Was that like a duck, Trey? I don't know.
Is that a warbler?
Yeah, it sounded like a warbler of some sort to me.
Yeah, I don't know if you really warble when you call for a ball, but we've all done it, right? Some sort of woo-woo.
Yeah,
woo,
Like
over here, give me the freaking ball kind of thing.
I'm making a sound to let you know I'm over here and I am open.
Yeah, and you don't really hear it too often in NBA games. I mean,
not like that.
Not the sound up there. Because the mic segment.
And he was hitting shots as soon as he caught that
thing.
He
was on fire. Didn't he have 25 at the half?
25 in the first half of this game.
Hot Bobby.
The hottest Bobby.
Most points in the first half off the bench for a player this season. Right. And he finished with 31. It was, you know, the Bobby story, very good story. The Bucks also a good story. No Giannis in this game.
Yeah.
And they were able to just keep hitting shots. This was, I mean, it was a little like Zion playing with three wings, Damian Lillard playing with just shooters who just were ready to shoot. They hit 18 threes in the first half, tied for the most threes in a half in NBA history. 18 threes in a half is the most. They slowed down a little bit, so they didn't come to the most threes in a game at the end of it, but it was cool for the Bucks because Chris Middleton was also back, missed 16 straight games. And he looked like Chris Middleton, who helped win the championship, hit 22 points. So that's nice that they have the depth that they're able to just keep Chris Middleton injured, air quotes injured, as long as he possibly needed to. And he's come back, and they scored 140 for the game against the Phoenix Suns. That's a lot of freaking points, a 140-129 game. Mm-hmm. And they've started to grab that 2 seed from the Cleveland Cavs. It's really like they've gripped it. They've grabbed it. And they're kind of like a meh road team. So they're pretty average for being a second seed on the road. So they need it. And if, you know, who knows wins two series to get to the Boston Celtics. But it feels like the Boston Celtics will be in that conference final against somebody. Could be the Bucks, could be the Knicks. Who knows?
It was a good win without Giannis. Bobby Portis, huge reason why. All these guys hitting threes, massive reason why. I think they have a really good record when Giannis doesn't play and Dame is their main guy. I want to say they're maybe undefeated. Might be 4-0 in those situations. But when it's flipped and there's no Dame and it's just Giannis, the record's not as great. You'd have to probably look into that, into the teams they were playing and maybe situations and back-to-back and all that to really figure it out if it means anything. But you know, Dame was their leader, and he was just, kicking it out to all these guys who couldn't miss in the first half. It was wild. Yeah, Suns hung around, but to give up 140 to a Giannis-less team, I know we'll get to losers of the weekend. Suns could be one of them. They're in the mix, at least, because that was turnstile defense or just not getting out to shooters at all. Thoughts on the game?
It was the same thing happened to the Suns that happened when they lost to the Celtics. They made the exact same amount of shots, but they got doubled up from the three-point line. And that's going to be a problem for the Suns because they take a lot of contested twos. Like you're saying, you can hang around that way, but you have to shoot like 80% to actually win those games. 59% from the field for Phoenix in this game, and they got blown out, basically, because the Bucks went for 24 threes out of 41 attempts. It's just simple math, and that's the problem with the Suns, which is maybe why they're bringing in Isaiah Thomas. They're like, we can't stop anybody anyways. We got to start. We have to outscore people to win. They've got a lot of great scorers, but they need some three-point shooting as well. They got Grayson Allen. He's the best three-point shooter in the league. Kevin Durant's having his best three-point shooting season of his career, but where else are they going to do it? Because 11 threes in a game, 14 threes in a game, that's child's play at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and maybe they saw what Isaiah Thomas was doing in the G League. Again, like I said, he was like on fire from three, so maybe you add that. We'll see how much opportunity he gets. But good win there from the Bucks without Giannis. Okay, lots of weekend winners left. A few honorable mentions. Bam Adebayo hitting that game-winning three. You guys already brought that up against the Pistons. They steal another from Detroit, keeping me alive in the Nut Dust Bowl standings there. Ayo Dosunmu scoring a career-high 34 for your Bulls there. They crushed the Wizards, 127-98. Great game from him. Rockets can't stop winning. They're on fire right now. They beat the Cavs. They've won five straight. I think it's all a little too late in terms of getting into the play-in, but they're hanging around. And Victor Wembanyama, final honorable mention. Wemby joined Embiid, Barkley, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only players with 30 points, 15 boards, 7 assists, and 7 blocks in a game. Yeah, he just keeps doing this like every 3 nights where it's like, oh, hold on, he joined what company? In what stats did he just put up? So that was another one there in overtime on the weekend. But, we got to highlight the rookies. Grady Dick and Anthony Black, up to no good after the game on Sunday, decided to swap jerseys with one another. And, you know, hold them up, boys. Big smiles now. The NBA's going to love this. And what everyone wants to know, so there you see it here for your podcast listeners. Obviously, Grady Dick holding Black's jersey, so it says Black on the left. Anthony Black holding Dick's jersey, it says Black Dick. Everyone having some laughs. They're smiling. Everyone, do you think they meant to do this? Do they know what they were doing? The answer is absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. They were standing on opposite sides of each other initially.
Yeah.
And then we're like, hey, yeah, let's just do it. Let's just do it. They went and got a camera guy. Like, they just played the game prior. I was wondering if it happened there like 2 games ago where they're like, hey, that was pretty funny. We should swap jerseys. See what the NBA does. See if they get upset. Funny. Funny as hell. It looks hilarious. Awesome. I love how much they're smiling and how in on it they are. And yeah, we had to slip it in. So an NBA weekend winner to Grady Dick and Anthony Black. And then, of course, everyone, oh, well, now Grady Dick's like, he must have a checklist. He's got to, like, do it with Coby White. He's got to do it with Jaylen Brown. People were saying Jalen Suggs would be a fun one. Nasir Little would make me laugh. I would like to see Luther Head get a 10-day contract and flip it so we get a dickhead.
Mark, I would love to see Luther Head get a 10-day
contract.
Yeah,
wouldn't you? And, you know, J.R. Ryder could come back, Mark Eaton. There's lots of possibilities. Like, Dick should have a list.
A dick list.
So the Magic posted it, too. They tweeted it. It was up for, I don't know, 30 minutes. Maybe not
they
even.
They took it down?
Yeah, they deleted it.
Come on. Yeah. It's just names.
Some admin did it. And, yeah. So it's hilarious.
What? They're just saying hi to each other? What's the big deal? They obviously repositioned themselves. It's totally
That's my
true.
Favorite part. Yeah.
They did it for the gram. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. They're going to print that, and they're going to have that in a hallway somewhere. That is a funny photo.
Yeah, you should display the jersey with that photo framed
absolutely.
Right underneath it.
Absolutely. So, yes, we got it. We got it here in the show. Don't worry. I know a lot of you were waiting. It was going to be tweet of the night, but then it got deleted, so we'll just make it a winner of the weekend. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some NBA Weekend Losers and Tweet of the Night. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, here in the factory, we've done NBA weekend winners. Let's do a batch of losers. Tass, why don't you get us started? Who you got?
Well, Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers was poked in the eye by Trayce Jackson-Davis of the Golden State Warriors. He sustained a swollen left eye and blurred vision after he went back to the locker and didn't play the rest of the game. Rob Pelinka even went there to check on Anthony Davis. LA changed the update, the injury, from left eye contusion, as they said that day, to left corneal abrasion. Corneal, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's
tough. You don't like to hear corneal.
You
though.
Don't.
Makes me shudder.
Yeah, it does, you know? It just makes you think, oh, did he have laser eye surgery? Did he get those corneas worked on? Because you got to be out a couple days for that. With that, I should say, after getting laser eye surgery. You know, we can talk about the Lakers and how they've dropped now to 10th seed and all that. But they lost that game because Anthony Davis wasn't playing the second half. They desperately need him, mm-hmm. desperately. And there's all the drama surrounding the video reviews and all that. But it just stinks that Anthony Davis was out. And they're looking more and more and more and more like the 10th seed. At the very best, it could be the 9th seed. And, you know, I came into the season looking at that team that was the 7th seed last year and thinking they should be better, but they just aren't looking anything like that team that finished seventh. And frankly, seventh would be way better than 10th because you just got to play one and then play the second seed. This one, you got to go on the road for a couple. They finish the game, they finish the season on the road with a couple regular season games. Then they have to do two more to go play the one seed if they do win both those, which would just stink for them. They just haven't looked good. So, all that to say, hopefully the corneal abrasion is going to be all right, and he will play potentially tonight, but he is questionable tonight with that injury against the Atlanta Hawks at home, which should be basically a must win, but it feels like must win. Do you want to? How many more games do you want to win the rest of the season? Do you want to finish 9th or 10th really was what it comes down to, because they're just not catching anybody in the 8th seed. I think they are desperate for all those guys. That team that looked like they could play defense last year, a lot of those guys are injured. And Vanderbilt, he's out. They got Cam Reddish to do this. He's out. They got Gabe Vincent to do this. He's out. So they do have injuries. All that to say, I think that is a little more important than winning a game here against the Atlanta Hawks. But anyway, hopefully he's all right.
I guess the schedule is sort of kind
to
the Lakers and AD for this reason. You're right. They play the Hawks tonight. Does he give it a go? Does he throw in the goggles? Does he even play? But then they don't play all week. They're off till Friday. So that's good. Rest your corneas.
Rest your corneas.
Close your eyes.
No
and
screen
heal
time.
Up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, stay off your phone. No Netflix there, AD. So that's good. But yeah, Hawks, Sixers, Pacers are those three home games, and they have a long road trip. Where they're out for six games. But, yeah, you say, does it really matter, play-in? Again, The Rockets are not that far back with the way they're playing and winning. It's what, three and a half. You know, within striking distance, I think you could say that. So you got to win here enough still to keep them at bay, unless the Rockets just go on a slide. But they probably will be in the Lakers, and they'll probably be the 10th seed and maybe the 9th, and they're going to have to win a couple games just to get in to the freaking playoffs. To then take on, you know, one of the best teams, obviously, in the league, be it Nuggets or Thunder or Wolves. So uphill battle here, for sure, for the Lakers. In a season where they got healthy AD for the most part, a healthy LeBron, and they're still, you know, just sort of basically a 500 team.
Another silver lining is that Anthony Davis has had to wear goggles before, and he looked very cool. Like, one of his coolest on-court looks, goggles. He looked like a 1970s player. But the Lakers, they're the 28th-ranked defense in the league since the All-Star break. Whoa. They got completely smashed without AD against the Warriors for the last three quarters. Warriors beat him up on the glass and scored more points in the paint. That doesn't make any sense. But if you factor in the fact that Anthony Davis was out, it does make a little bit of sense. So throw some goggles on, look cool, win these next three games. These are all three winnable games for the Lakers. They've done a pretty good job of beating the under 500 teams and the teams they should beat, then playing about 500 basketball against actual contending teams. But I don't know. They're going to have to get lucky in the play-in because it seems pretty unlikely that they can get up to eighth. It's got a three-game lead for the eighth seed. It's feasible. Yeah. You know, they'd have to go on a bit of a stretch here, and the Lakers just haven't been able to put together a huge win streak.
Okay, so AD gets a loser of the weekend, and that who you got here, Trey?
I got the LA Clippers. They're also a loser of the weekend. They had the big loss on Friday against the Pelicans that we talked about, kind of one of the biggest seeding losses of the weekend. They lost the tiebreaker. I think the Pelicans are also leading their division, so they get the bump there as well. And if you lose two games in a weekend in the Western Conference, you're going to get a loser. Brutal loss Sunday at home against the Hawks, and they got their butts kicked. The Hawks led the final 46 minutes of this game. They were up by 21 at halftime and kept it there for the majority of the second half. The Hawks scored 48 points in the paint, more than the Clippers, had 31 fast break points to the Clippers' 11 fast break points, and Atlanta shot 17 of 34 from three. And they're starting Vete Krejci. I saw Vete Krejci go by Kawhi Leonard off the dribble. It doesn't make any sense. Kawhi and Paul George, they did all right in this loss against the Hawks. 54 points on 46% shooting. The rest of the Clippers, 39 points on 29% shooting. 17 assists on the night for the Clippers. They just look so tired and bored and said, we've accomplished everything we needed to accomplish. Went 26-5 on that great run through January and February. Since then, I think they're 8-10. And it just looks like they are ready for the playoffs to start. But you got to get to the playoffs, and it'd be nice to have home court advantage. I know as a veteran team, they probably don't care all that much going 4-5, 5-4 versus New Orleans. But I have not been impressed at all with the Clippers lately. They lit up the Bulls. I thought they looked incredible in that game. But maybe it was just hot shooting. Like, Paul George went 11-12 in that game. Nobody else is doing anything for the Clippers right now. They've lost four of their last five, down to fourth. They just got that one-game lead on the Pelicans, and as soon as the Pelicans catch them, it's flipped because of the tiebreaker. So, bad weekend for L.A.
You can see where they do miss Westbrook's, like, energy, too.
Big time.
Where he can come in, and if everyone's looking a little sluggish and sort of playing with, like, their feet in cement, you know, Wes is always going to give you energy. You know, it's going to be a ride half the time, but never shortage of that, just like trying to get guys going. Let's go, let's play with some pace. But obviously he's out here for a significant amount of time. I think you miss a guy like that to sort of shore up your second unit. But yeah, they don't look, you know, unfortunately, that stretch that you said there, Trey, when it happened, everyone's like, ooh, are the Clippers for real here? Oh, could this be their year? And then it's sort of right now back to like the Clippers where you're like, you're hesitant. And you're like, of course, they could lose in a first round series. Yeah, everything breaks right with Kawhi and PG as your star players. They could go very far, but you're like, I don't know. Which one's more likely? You know where I land. I'm going to veer towards it's more like an early exit because of unfortunate injuries or stuff like that. We'll see. I don't know. They're a tough team to figure out. Like I said, I'm not even sure who I'm going to pick when it gets to, like, if it is Pelicans Clippers. It's going to be a flip of the coin, I think.
I think the depressing thing for the Clippers is it has nothing to do with injuries. Like, Harden was back playing on Sunday.
That's true.
Paul George was out there. Kawhi Leonard was out there. No Westbrook, I agree. His energy is important for the Clippers, but they've been generally healthy. I know Harden missed a couple of games. He missed the Bulls game, and then he missed that Pelicans game as well. He didn't have it going on Sunday at all. I guess he's playing through a shoulder strain, which, you know, maybe slows him down, but they've been generally pretty healthy this season, and it looked great when they look great, but now they're kind of looking like when Harden first came to the team, and they're just standing around waiting for things to happen.
Yeah, it looks like a new rotation, like it did when Harden got there, and they looked terrible. Now Russell Westbrook out, and Bones Highland and PJ Tucker in. They just don't look like the same team. And so maybe they just got to get comfortable with that. You see Kawhi Leonard leave that spasm game where he had spasms in his back and then came back and played back-to-back, no problem. But this Hawks game was the low water mark because if you look at all the losses since Russ has been out, and you mentioned the run here, Trey, it was Milwaukee again, Minnesota, Pelicans. Okay, those are all fine losses. Game. They're fine. And then the Hawks. The Hawks was the one where they really just, are we even trying here? It looks like they're ready for the end of the season, and maybe they want that 5 seed. Maybe they want to drop from 4 to 5 so they can get on the road and play the Pelicans, because Ty Lue is good at that. Going back to the Cavs days. I mean, that's what LeBron did. No problem. I'll win that one game. Game one, I should say. Not that one game. The game one. He'll do it.
DeAndre Hunter for the Hawks, just to slip this in here, had a good game against the Clips. 20 points in like 24 minutes of action. He's playing really well, DeAndre Hunter, coming off the bench for the Hawks. Over his last 14 games, he's averaging 18 points per game, shooting 50 from the floor, 44 from deep, chipping in some rebounds, doesn't move the ball all that much, so not a lot of assists, but he's got to be on the El Tizo team, which we haven't talked about a lot. DeAndre Hunter is a classic El Tizo guy, where you can start to get excited when he puts together stretches like this, but he will let you down, so don't get too excited. But anyway, that's good. That's good for the Hawks fans, and they're holding on here, and that actually pairs nicely with my loser of the weekend, which is the Brooklyn Nets, who are in theory chasing the Hawks, but their play-in chances, I think, went poof this weekend. The Nets lost back-to-back games. They fell to 26-42. They're 4.5 games back now from Atlanta, who are the 10th seed. On Saturday, Brooklyn gave up 82 points in the paint to the Pacers. They let them get 17 offensive rebounds. They helped them out by coughing it over 21 times. Just an embarrassing game from them. They collapsed in the second half. They lost by 21 points. And then on Sunday, they put up more of a fight. They even had a 10-point advantage in the fourth quarter, and then they got Wembied. They lost to the Spurs in overtime. But those two losses right there, they finished their road trip 1-5. They come home to play the Pelicans on Tuesday night, and then the Nets have to go back on the road for another 4-game stretch. That's 10 out of their 11 games on the road, and I think it's a wrap. I don't see them catching Atlanta. I don't think you should even be allowed in the play-in with basically 30 wins, which they'll be happy with at this point. And I saw Nets Daily tweet this. Sean Marks stated at Jacques Vaughn's dismissal that this team is too talented to have such a poor record. Well, not much has really changed. I think it's gotten maybe worse with Kevin Ollie in control. They're just a bad team, and they're outclassed when it comes to talent, and then maybe the coaches are making some odd choices. Bad weekend for the Nets. And I think you can – I'm ready to say I don't think they're making the play-in. I think they're done.
No, that's totally fair with how they've reacted to a coach change. It hasn't gone well since then.
Yeah.
I think it's the most disappointing season in the NBA of any team. Hmm. And I know the Pistons, horrendous. And you can look at other teams that are bad.
The Raptors.
But this team was good last year. This team was 45-37. Okay, mm-hmm. You can
– a lot of those are Kevin Durant wins.
Those are Kevin Durant wins, sure. They did do fairly well. They did way better with Mikal Bridges as their number one guy. They just had a different mentality, a different locker room, different identity. They started this season so poorly, the whole thing. And the fact that they're this poor on both ends of the floor, especially
they're not good at anything.
Yeah,
no. Just below average offensively, below average defensively.
Yeah, I just had just the way they ended last season with Mikal Bridges as their number one guy, you think, okay, all right, they've got something. Lots of money for him and for Cam Johnson, and that has not worked out. Ben Simmons was starting as their lead guard to start this season, and the identity just has not been found at all. It doesn't look like last year's team at all.
They started 3-2.
They had those two nice wins over the Hawks right at the beginning of March, right? And it was like, ooh, they could actually maybe make a play-in push here. Yeah. It's just been bad ever since.
Yeah, so there you go. There are some losers. Like we said, I think the Suns you could throw in as possible loser, giving up 140 to the Bucks. Anyone Anyone else? Any teams or players on the list or things
Wizards
that happened?
Got smashed twice in this one. They got beat by 30 by the Bulls and then 30 by the Celtics. You understand getting beat by 30 by the Celtics, but the Bulls are not a high-scoring team, and they put up 127 on Washington.
And I am so lucky, again, to go back to the Nut Dust Bowl rankings. Like, the Pistons have lost, I want to say, four or five games sort of in heartbreaking fashion. Like, you should be well clear of my crappy Wizards at this point, but they keep coming up short, like just short in these games. And, you know, they still have one win more than the Wizards, but it could have been over. You guys could have been talking to each other, you know, exchanging texts about the nut medley that you're putting together.
How do you feel about chili onion peanuts?
I mean, I like them.
Yeah, they're good.
They are good. The but dust, that's going to be a tough dust. And I'm starting to mentally prepare because I did not. I mean, you watch any Wizards game and it's a whole boy. It's bad. It's very bad. The Pistons are a much better team. They're only one win better, but they're a much better team than the Wizards. But they play each other. That's a big one.
That's going to be huge, man.
Coming up.
Huge
game. End of the month, I think I said.
We should play next back Friday. That game.
Yeah, next Friday. We should. We should play back on a Friday night.
I'm busy.
What are you doing, honey? Let's go out tonight. No, I got to watch the Pistons Wizards play on playback. Sicko.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Oh, this is a fun Tweet of the Night. I was larfing all weekend long. Had this clip on repeat. Hate to do this to my guy, Amin El Hassan, but at Miles Ehrlich tweeted video that did say, add it to the Amin athletic highlight reel, and it's, again, Amin El Hassan taking a corner three. I guess he was playing in this AU Celebrity Hoops Classic. I think it was in Dallas. And the clip for you podcast listeners, you got to seek it out, is a funky release from Amin. And it's a big air ball. So it's, look, hey, we've all airballed a three. We're all guilty of doing that. But it's really the release that we have a screen grab of. People are saying, what's he? He's like, you know, throwing gang signs while he's shooting here. It's crazy. It's a funky, funky follow through. I don't even know how you would describe it.
It looks like he's shooting a finger roll
from the corner.
From the corner.
Yeah.
But the ball somehow goes straight. I don't understand how this ended up being an air ball
to the right.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's a good point. It's a great point. It went 2 feet to the right, but looks like it should be 2 feet to the left and maybe hitting the shot clock. So, look, Amin's a good sport. He leans into it. He even tweeted at Darth Amin, when the internet comes for you, the only way out is to just accept it. And he even had a gif from, I believe, the Mummy. So he knows. Just give it to me. I can take it. I saw you had a clip, too, explaining in classic Amin fashion what
Watch
went wrong.
That whole clip.
Yeah, it was very funny.
It was very funny. The way he is shooting sort of to the left with that right hand, he lost the ball, I guess, when he went up for it, because his hand is behind the ball, and then it ends up being, looks like the number three he's throwing up there or something with his fingers, because it looks like he just loses it. And he does say in that video that it was a woman's ball, and he's not he's not used to shooting.
He said a lot, and I was like, no.
It was too small. It felt too small in his hands, so he wasn't used to it. Like he was shooting a mini ball. Now we're talking mini balls. That doesn't really make sense. It ain't that small.
He said his best defense to why it looked like that is he hasn't played pro basketball, in a very long time, and that looked like the shot of someone who hadn't picked up a basketball in a very long time.
Yeah, but that wasn't a game. You're just shooting a ball.
I know, but I guess he hasn't played. Anyway, my favorite thing about Amin is, you know, like us, he loves a good pun. So he was sharing some puns of, you know, sort of like what you would say, like an NBA player, bad, poorly.
Yeah.
Example, Stale Ellis, Spaz Reed, Dan Gnarly, Cedric Airbalos. I think John Hollinger threw out a stiff curry. I loved Gordon Wayward. That one made me laugh. Man, ew, Ginobili,
ew.
James Unworthy, and my favorite one, I laugh so hard. Just like, it's funny to just see written out like this, Jeff Hornish shit. And there were many others. I only pulled like 10. Or like another 50 that he was sharing. So he...
Good. Dan Gnarly. That one's going to stick with me. I'm going to use that on other players. I like any of them that have a Suns connection, because Amin has a Suns connection. They get an extra bump
Jeff
from me.
Jeff Hornish shit. Yeah. Cedric Airbalos and Dan Gnarly, maybe the best of the
it's
best.
A tough big three.
What a clip, man. What a clip. I don't know if his team won. Even Ben Lyons was playing in this celebrity game. I saw a photo of the group. I think they looked happy in it, so maybe they won. Let's call it there, though. That's weekend winners and losers, and a little tweet of the night fun at the expense of Amin to end this bad boy. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, live from the Classic Factory on YouTube. Hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. Any thoughts on the March Madness brackets? Have you filled one out yet?
Either men's or women's. Yeah, but no. I will today.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I will
today. You'll do a first pass?
One pass only.
One pass only.
Yeah, I'm like Jay-Z. I only need one take.
I read a tip, I think it was in the Washington Post, from like some like expert who I guess does really well at filling these out, like a bracketologist or whatever the hell they call themselves. And I do this. I fill it out where I look at that matchup and I move it over, and I look at that matchup and I move it over. He says the way to go about it is to actually like pick your final fours or your elite eights, whatever, further in, and put them in, slot them in. Teams you're just confident with,
okay,
no matter the matchup, and sort of then build out. I was like, huh, I'm going to try it this year.
Sure.
I'm take that tip and apply it. Mm. See if it does anything.
Who are you feeling?
Oh, the Jackrabbits, of course.
Jackrabbits, yeah. They'll probably make it to the Elite Eight at least, I would say. 15 seed.
There's four teams that have over 30 wins.
Got to be UConn. I know they're good.
Yeah, and then
year.
There's like some mid-major teams that have, you know, sometimes have those credible records. I watched a little bit of the selection show.
Oh, for the selection
men's
show.
Yeah, and then the I think the women's was later. I didn't see any of that one.
They selected some teams.
They selected some teams, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I only select like one team, though. Because I saw the guy during the conference tournaments on Saturday. It was like 35 of the 36 at-large teams are already locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So one selection.
Well, I guess the
whole show for one selection.
Select show.
We got to know who's playing each other and all that.
Yeah, the schedule show, they should call it.
My favorite thing is the parts I saw, they would like go to the team where it'd be like, all right, and the number two seed, Iowa State, you know, it'd show them, all their fans. And then it would show the team they're playing. And it was always funny to see how the team would react to their opponent. Yeah, they were just sort of just like, because you can't be like, yeah, we're going to kick their ass. You're going to be like, okay. All right. Well, we got the Jackrabbits 2:15 matchup.
That's
okay,
right.
Could be tough. Could be tough. Got to prepare. Maybe not.
Just do it. Just go over the top. Say we're gonna beat them. What's wrong with that?
Just weird. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Confidence, baby. Confidence. All right. Maybe we'll talk a little March Madness later this week. As you can tell, we are experts when it comes to the college game. We will see you tomorrow. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, it was quite the weekend. A lot of great plays. We didn't even mention Cole Anthony stole a ball without a shoe on.
Mm.
He lost a shoe, tossed it to the side, and then made a beautiful steal against the Toronto Raptors. Great weekend. Really great weekend from everybody, especially Carlos Alcaraz. That guy.